Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Swinging a high drive into center field, hits at the wall, it is gone!
Swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, strike three, it's over! The Red Sox have won the World Championship!
Welcome back to Play Testy. It's episode 220. This is the official Red Sox podcast of WEI. Hit that subscribe button, you know the drill. Find us on WEI's YouTube channel. Hit the subscribe button there. Thumbs up on all the Play Testy videos on the Play Testy playlist. Find us on the socials at Play Testy on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. We're recording this maybe, 5 to 10 minutes right after the Red Sox just lost their 17th one-run game of this brief season. That's just a little bit over a third of the way through. By the way, Gordo here with Sammy and Pat, full attendance here. So yeah, 6-17 in one-run games. They were 18-13 in one-run games last year. So they're already, they've played 23 one-run games this year. They played 31 all of last year, and we're only a third of the way there. They lost 13 one-run games last year. They have blown past that and have 17 one-run losses in a third of the time. I mean, I'm literally sitting here. I'm wearing a Drake May jersey because you might as well just be on to football season at this point, because I mean, it's the same existence over and over and over again. It's Groundhog Day. We're in the same day on repeat, the same game on repeat. The last two nights in particular, where the Red Sox get down and you feel pretty bad about the starting pitching, and then the offense roars them back and they just can't finish the job. And in this game, they lose it in extras. And last night's game, they hit a home run in the eighth to get it to one and couldn't tie the game. Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing over and over again. We are going to get into the trade rumors, the Jaren Duran trade rumors that surfaced. And, you know, with every loss, those rumors become more and more and more real. I'll give you a spoiler. I would not trade Jaren Duran if the Red Sox are in a position to compete. But with every day that passes, it just looks more and more and more like we're headed towards a team that's going to need to sell at the trade deadline. This team does not have a winner's instinct. I don't know what it is, because generally, I'm not like I like to look at numbers to prove how good a team is, and just like winner's instinct does, like, it's not something that's really computable. But when you're this short into a season, I mean, we're again a little over a third of the way through, and they're 6-17 in one run games. They've lost 17 one run games, and that doesn't even count, like, they let up like the grand slam and extra innings that Liam Hendricks let up the other day. Like, it doesn't even count that. So like they're just impossibly bad in games that they're quote unquote in. But the truth is, like, bullpen's been doing their job. Offense absolutely stinks. Starting pitching mediocre and puts the bullpen in bad spots. I cannot fathom how awful this group is when the game is on the line. It's every single inning late, they get a guy on. Oftentimes they get him in the scoring position. He never gets in. I just cannot fathom what we're watching.
Yeah, Gordo, you say you like to look at numbers. Here's some numbers for you. Tuesday night, the Red Sox left 11 men on base, and they were 1-for-13 with runners in scoring position. So it's just one of those things, like extra innings, 10th inning, they're down by one. Carlos Narvaez comes up. We all love the Narv. Gets two strikes on him. First thing I thought, okay, he's going to strike out. Trevor Story comes up, two strikes on him. No chance. He's going to strike out. Sidon Rafaela, he's a great night. Great night for him. Crushed a home run. He's having a great game. Still, big moment. This Red Sox team, I don't feel good. He pops it up. You just never, ever, ever feel good in an important spot with this team. It's so frustrating. And one thing I want to push back on, Gordo, I don't think it's like Groundhog Day. I feel like this team keeps on finding new ways to torture us and disappoint us. Like, they do keep losing these close games. It's the same thing in that respect, but they find new ways to do it. Like Monday night, huge comeback. Great. They're down by six in the first inning. They make it a one-run game. And then just nothing. Tonight, 3-0 comeback. Tie game. Incredible. Sidon, what a shot. And then you lose by one. 17 times they've lost by one. I don't know what to say. There's not really a stat or a single player or a coach to point to. Like, I want to blame the hitting altogether, but you got Abraham Toro hitting like cleanup and fifth for you in this series. It's like who do you, I don't know. I guess Breslow. Breslow's the guy I'm looking at right now. It's just so, I don't like to be the scapegoat guy, but this roster is flawed, more flawed than we all thought.
Speaking of numbers, as bad as the offense have been, the defense has been way worse. I have some really fun facts for you. Before I get to the fun facts and the fun stats, Sox committed three errors tonight. They now lead the league in a category. Exciting. It's fucking errors, and they pulled ahead of the MLB historically worst team in MLB history, Colorado Rockies. Just for fun, I looked up team errors since 2021. Since then, they've been pretty mid. 2021, they were second in errors. 2022 was a decent year, 14. 23, they were second. 24, they were second. 25, they're first. This is a theme that happens every fucking year. And it's not like they're playing like musical chairs. Like, you removed Bogarts, you put Story in, you took out Devers, you put Bregman in. You took out whoever the fuck.
Second base, man, is a revolving door every year.
Whoever was at second base, first base, you take out Tristan, you put in whoever.
You got Bobby
Tristan
first.
Goes in for Bobby Dalbec. Like, fucking Vasquez is gone. Wong goes in. Narvaez is the best defensive catcher in the fucking sport. You have three potential Gold Glove outfielders, and they still lead the fucking lead in errors.
Pat, they have maybe the best defensive catcher, maybe the best defensive center fielder, and maybe the best defensive right fielder in the league, and they lead the league in errors.
Yep.
Williers' defense hasn't been what it was last year, I will say. I feel like he's been a little shaky.
The numbers support him being a top two or three defensive right fielder in the sport. You can definitely make the argument he's the best defensive right fielder in the sport.
Yeah, he's still good. He's still good.
They're just testing us, man. Actually,
frustrating, man.
You go, Sammy.
Sorry. No, I was just going to say, Pat was talking about how there's so much inconsistency in terms of personnel. I feel like we're on the verge of having consistency with like the Narv at catcher, ideally Casas at first base. Maybe it's Campbell at second, Marcelo at short. Bregman, I hope, at third for at least another year. And then the outfield, like you just said, Gordo, Endeavors at DH. So I think they're on the verge of having this consistency. Like, they're with it less than a year away. It's just you could still win without that. And it's frustrating because there is a lot of talent on this roster. It's a talented roster. I think everyone, and it's not just us saying that. Nationally, people were saying this is a talented roster, but it's flawed. And the weirdest thing is, I think the biggest flaw is the bullpen, and that's been the biggest strength the last few days. So it's weird. I don't know who to be mad at right now. I'm mad, but I'm like, who am I even mad at?
I'm mad at the position players because what we're talking about, it's all on them, man. Like they're the ones who aren't hitting in big spots. They're the ones leaving guys on base. They're the ones playing bad defense. Like some guys come through in big spots and it's like you point to them for coming through in a big spot, but you almost always you can point to another moment in that game where they fucked up. Like a perfect example is tonight, actually. Sadon has the huge home run, 3-0 pitch. I was yelling at my TV, take the fucking pitch, and he drives it on the Lansdowne. But earlier in the night, he throws the damn ball into the fucking seats. Like, right. And it's every single night, whoever has a big moment has a fuck up somewhere else. And it's like, then maybe the one game where that didn't happen was the Abraham Toro game where he just like played a perfect game, man. And it's
your chorus said. Cora post game, he said, "We're not getting better." He's pissed.
Yeah. Well, that's you can follow the Cora quotes, and he kind of goes with the wave of where the team is. Like if they lose a game the day after winning, he's not going to kill the team. If they lose back to back very winnable games, his quotes are going to get slightly worse. And he comes into every new day with a new mindset and a new attitude, which is good. But Pat, you have the quote. Let's hear it.
I have the full quote. Alex Cora said, "We keep making the same mistakes. We're not getting better. At one point, it has to be on me, I guess, right? I'm the manager, so, you know, I got to keep pushing them to be better. They're not getting better. They're not, you know? We keep making the same mistakes. I'll be very honest about it, very open about it. You know, you get frustrated. I watched that game. I was like, wow, this is real. It's frustrating."
I wonder, like, to be honest with you, heading into the Braves series, I definitely thought someone was going to get the axe. Obviously, it's not going to be Cora. He's a couple of months into a brand new 3-year, $7 million a year extension. Like, he's not going anywhere. But someone, like Roman Anthony being called up, is not going to be the thing that is like the igniting spark that they're going to, the button that they're going to push to try to fix the team. That's not what they're going to do. To me, I think somebody, and like Pat, I think we had this conversation on the last pod before Sammy got back. And maybe it was when Sammy was here. I don't like calling for specific people's jobs, but like there's a lot of people on the coaching staff that contribute to the output that we see offensively. And I just would not be surprised if at some point soon someone from that staff got the axe because something's
like I'm not going to blame any coach specifically, but I'm also not going to stand up for any of them. Yeah, like there's nobody's doing well. The bullpen coach. Credit to whoever is handling the bullpen. Andrew Bailey and whoever is...
Holtie. It's Holtie.
Holtie, yeah, Holtie. I was trying to... Tip of my tongue. Holtie, yeah. They're doing great. Make Holtie the manager.
I have, Gordon, really quick, I have a stat. Yep. This is obviously not updated. Counting tonight's game as we record, you know, like 5 minutes after last pitch. The Red Sox have struck out as a team 582 times. The Angels going into tonight, 583. The Red Sox obviously struck out more than the Angels. So they move into second right behind the Colorado Rockies, and they might have passed them tonight. And then if you thought that was bad, they do lead the league in another category. So sorry, I really was celebrating leading the league in the errors category. I apologize. I thought we led in one category. We lead in two. It's strikeouts with runners in scoring position.
Ah.
They have struck out runners in scoring position 171 times. The second closest is the Cincinnati Reds, who have struck out 20 less times with runners in scoring position.
Jesus.
That's it though, man. Like you talk about playing the game the way it's meant to be played. You're in a tight game, and the Red Sox are in a lot of tight games. You get a guy on second base with no outs, which is a situation the Red Sox fuck up frequently, all the time, including tonight, multiple times. Multiple times at the end of the game, I might add, in the final two innings with chances to win and then tie the game. They had speedy guys on second with no outs. The key here is, man, especially, and I don't want to get on Jaron too much because he hit a deep fly ball that, let's be real, Hamilton should have tagged on. Granted, the next guy struck Devers, or no, they walked Devers, and then Williers struck out, so it's not like it would have changed anything. But, like, situational ball, like, if you're not going to get a hit, that ball needs to be pulled to second base, get the guy to third.
Yeah. Yeah, Lou was saying that.
The ball's in center field. You got to tag.
Yeah. I mean, I do think it would have changed things. I think that changes Willier's whole approach. Willier has not been hitting well at all. You got a guy on third, your mindset immediately changed to sack fly or just hit the ball on the ground. Sack fly, hit the ball on the ground. Either one. So, I think it would have changed things. The Hamilton not tackle, out of everything that happened tonight, that's what made me the angriest. And we don't have to go into all the bad things that happened. Question for you guys. How much leeway do you give the lineup knowing that their 3 and 4 hitters are both gone?
Well, Sammy, it's an approach problem. So, like, yes, you can look at the lineup and say, oh, like, Toro's hitting 4th and 5th on a nightly base. Like, yeah, you can do that.
Dude, Romy batting cleanup tonight. Romy Gonzalez, your backup middle infielder and first baseman, is batting cleanup.
I get it, man. But the guys who are supposed to be in the lineup every day are also making this. It's not like the situations get their way to Toro every single time. And Toro, like, Toro doesn't even fuck it up every single time. Toro's actually been okay.
Toro's been good. And I agree, Gordo. It's the guys who are in the lineup every night. And it's not like they haven't had chances to win. Like, Romy is not incapable. Romy's been good. I actually like Romy a lot. The response tonight where he could have been the guy tonight. A lot of different guys could have been the guy tonight. And the only one who really stepped up was Sedan, but like you said, he had a mistake earlier. So, like, it's always someone new.
A couple of great games. I've been hard on him for years, and I will give him credit where it's due.
No, Sedan's been good.
But go on.
I like Sedan. If you credit to him, man, he's been slowly but surely improving offensively all season. Like, slowly, but he has been improving. So, yeah, I don't even know where I'm going with this one. It's someone new every night. And then Connor Wong, terrible all year. He has a good game tonight.
Yeah,
they still lose. Like, it's like what? They cannot get clicking on all cylinders, no matter what. It's always something. And then I don't know how many times we have to say this. Every time you think they're going to turn the corner, they don't. But and then they're probably going to win on Wednesday, the day game. They're going to win on Wednesday. We're going to be like, okay, maybe some momentum going into the Yankees.
They better win, because if you get swept by the Angels, like I know I've got the Drake May jersey on right now, like, it's on to football season. Ha ha ha.
If you get swept by the Angels,
if you get
then what?
By the Angels, it actually is on to football season. Like, it is. Like, I'm sorry. You don't come back from that. Like, last year when they lost 2 out of 3 to the Rockies when they needed wins, that was it. And like, I hate being the guy that's like, that's it, man. And it's the very beginning of June and you're like, what? If they lose tomorrow, they'll be like something around 5 games out. So it's like, it's not like they're actually dead. But guys, we watch this team every single fucking night. Like, we're not stupid. You know what you're watching.
How, like, could you feel good? How could you possibly feel good about this team? Like, yeah, you can't point to, here, I got it. Greg Weissert. Where the hell would this team be without Greg Weissert? That's all I got.
Where the hell would this team be without X? I think about when we always used to say, where the hell would this team be without Alex Bregman? And we, every single night, routinely, since he got hurt, have found out just exactly where we would be without Alex Bregman. If he weren't here the entire year, we would be below the Oriole realm. That's where we would be.
Ugh.
So the Angels, I'm trying to find the exact metric on it. Okay, yeah, I was right. The Angels bullpen this year has a 5.80 ERA. They are a top 3 worst bullpen in baseball. I believe they've let up the most home runs, second most home runs. The Red Sox have scored 1 run in 9 2/3 inning through 2 games of this series off a bottom 3 bullpen in baseball.
Dude, they closed the game tonight with Reed Detmers, and he held them with a man on second.
Dude, we completely, I, stupid me, I apologize. The loss tonight falls squarely on Gordo's shoulders.
Oh, what did he do? What did Gordo do?
Let's hear it.
Sammy wasn't there for this. So it was the Orioles doubleheader. Me and Gordo were sitting down watching game one. He goes, Ramon Urias is your 3-hitter. This guy fucking sucks. 2-run double, goes like 3 for 4 in the game. We're walking to do radio, and he goes, yeah, it sucks, but, you know, Trevor Rogers is pitching tonight. He sucks, man. They're gonna just blow him up. He pitched like 6 shutty. And then tonight, of all nights, he fucking trashes on Reed Detmers before he throws a pitch. And he looks like Mariano fucking Rivera.
Wait, what did I – can we go back to this chat? What
I said that
Reed
too.
Detmers? I've always been Reed Detmers' guy.
I've not. That was the most like – that guy's –
Gordo said, and I quote, oh my God, Detmers for a save, ha, 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 ha.
I mean, I didn't say he wasn't. I didn't say he was going to blow it. I just said
it is funny.
It is funny.
It is funny. It's Reed Detmers. I mean, the Red Sox couldn't rally off of Hector Neris, who's pitching for second night of a back to back, and Reed Detmers, who is pitching for the second night in a row as well. Like, you know what the Red Sox need? They need to face like Spencer Strider or friggin' like an ace. They always. I feel like they'll come up against a guy like that and we'll be like, oh, fuck. Oh, and then they'll beat him. And then it'll be like the guy with a 10 ERA.
Sammy.
Who did they just beat?
Sammy. They knocked around Scooble and fucking lost.
That's oh, yeah,
there true. Was one since Scooble, too. Who the hell was it with
Reagans? Reagans. Right?
No, that was before. Who did they face before the Braves? Brewers?
It was Baltimore.
Who did they face before the Brewers?
Baltimore.
Maybe. Who did they face in the first game of the Braves series? They won that game.
It's not swollen balls. That guy dominated the Red Sox.
Fucking...
No, Swellen back was one.
They I don't got know, but the point Elder, is, I'm saying that game. they're good. They're good against guys who are now. I feel like it's been this way for like 5 years too. Like even pre 2021, like it's always like an ace is pitching against them, and you're like, nice, they're gonna win. But then it's a guy with a 9 ERA, and the dude goes 7 shutout innings at the game of his career, and you never hear from him again. But he dominated against the Red Sox at Fenway. Congratulations, Johnny Dickhead, on your 7 inning shutout.
No, they haven't hit a big guy since Scooble. I'm wrong on that. You know,
oh, eBay.
I said Casas was talking to the media today, and he's like, I'm living my worst nightmare because the recovery from the torn patellar tendon is grueling. We talked about that a lot when it happened. And I've routinely said that the month of May, and like, let's be real now, it's spilling into June, the month of May was my own personal hell. Like, it was maybe the worst Boston sports month of at least my Boston sports watching career, or at least it's up there. I thought it was my personal hell, but with Tristan Casas, I mean, he has got to be cooped up in the Hotel Commonwealth, where I assume he still lives, unless he's moved since the documentary where they show him walking up that thing. But the dude's got to be up sitting in that hotel room with his leg elevated, watching the Red Sox lose one run games and get walked off every single night. He's got it worse than us.
Well, he's also a Major League Baseball player. So I don't know. I think we got it worse.
Yeah, but he's not. I mean, he might as well not be now.
Nah, don't say that.
He'll be back, but right now he's not. He's not.
You know what he needs? He needs Trevor or he needs Alex Bregman's warp speed recovery. That was good. That was positive today. Bregman is recovering at warp speed. He says that's fast as fuck.
Yeah.
Despite what Joe Blaberman says.
You know what else is warp speed? Me hitting the water, jumping off the Zakum tomorrow.
Yeah. I thought you said, you know what else is warped? And I was like, ooh, I don't want to know.
No. Dude, I can't do another summer of this because it's going to be July. They're going to be out of it. I'm going to have to fucking be into Patriots training camp. Talk myself into Efton Chisholm being Randy Moss.
See, this is why I do. This is why I have video games. I have something other than sports now. It's great. It's great. It's like the Patriots. I can't talk myself into them yet. I'll be excited when football season comes around. Not there yet. Red Sox, terrible, ruining my life. Oh, tune out. I'll go to the world of Gillenor and game.
It's so, like last night, and it's hilarious how many times this exact experience has happened to me this year, but my video game of choice this time of year is MLB The Show. After last night's game, I was like, all right, I gotta go play The Show. Up 7-5 in the ninth inning.
No.
No way. You blew it.
Two-run bomb. I'm pitching with Eric Gagne. Two-run moon bomb. And then I lose it in 10. And that's not the first time that's happened after a close Red Sox loss with me this year.
Yo, that's a good Red Sox jersey number trivia question. That's a tough one.
83?
Wow, got it right away.
Has
never
to
mind.
Be in the 80s.
Fuck me. No, it was 83. You got it.
Very good, Pat.
Never mind. I thought it was tough.
No, Gordo, I'm the opposite. I can't even cope with MLB The Show because after I watch the Sox lose, the last thing I want to look at is more baseball. And then to make the matters worse, my starting right fielder in MLB The Show is Roman Anthony. So I have to ponder on what could be.
Him hitting a game-tying home run in the ninth in AAA is
poetic.
Like the funniest shit ever. The Woo Sox could have lost a one-run game, but they sure fucking didn't because they got Roman Anthony on their team, and he's going to tie the game for you in the ninth. Like, goddamn. I know he's not going to change everything, but it would just be nice to know that they're putting the best team that they could on the field, and the players could know that they're putting the best team that they can on the field.
Question for you guys. So after the game, I'm kind of past the point of being like angry with this Red Sox team because my expectations just get lower and lower. But after the game, I tweeted, I said, this has to be the most frustrating Red Sox team ever. Not the best or worst, but the most frustrating. The amount of winnable games they've let slip away is incredible. Is this the most frustrating Red Sox team? I got two that I think are
easily
close. But
What's close? Tell me.
Okay.
Don't say 2011 because that team was awesome for like the majority of the year.
Well, yeah, I was going to say 2011 because they collapsed.
For a month. They were 2011, if you want to say most frustrating month in Red Sox history, give me that. But for most
fair,
frustrating
team.
Not
the full season. Yeah.
This
the
one,
other
man.
One I was going to say, this is kind of a sleeper. I don't think they're as frustrating. But 2019, after how good they were in 2018, that was super good.
But you give them grace because they just won the World Series. This team, they don't have fucking grace at all.
Yeah,
but the thing with 19 was they literally ran back the same team that fucked everybody up the year before. Not to the degree of this team, but every other series, you're like, oh, they're going to turn the corner. Oh, they're going to turn the corner. And then they just kept middling
bad
out.
About that team, really bad about the 2019 team. I don't know if you guys remember this. Do you remember Cora had Benintendi lead off with Mookie hitting second?
Yeah, it went horribly.
How do you do that after 2018? Like, that works.
Yeah, he did
that. But he switched it back eventually, but fucking weird.
He did that. I think that was the year that Sale had an ERA over 4.
Yeah,
he got good. Hurt. Like, it was
Sale
just a
too.
Shit show. Yeah, it was just a shit show.
Yeah,
baseball's kind of like basketball in that it's really hard to go back-to-back just because the longer season makes it so much harder the next year to stay healthy.
Yeah.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We should talk about the Jaren Duran stuff. Okay, so if you didn't see the report, The Athletic said the Padres have expressed interest in Jaren Duran, and that the Sox wouldn't necessarily be reluctant to trade him. Jeff Passan kind of confirmed it today, was like, yeah, I heard from a GM that the Red Sox would consider trading Jaren Duran or Willier. And then Sean McAdam today was basically said, yeah, the Padres called the Red Sox on Duran, and there's other teams that are also calling the Sox on Duran in recent weeks just because they're trying to find a way to get Roman Anthony in there. Might be a good time to call them up. And the Red Sox were definitely willing to at least listen. Not like they're shopping the guy, not like they want to trade him, quote unquote, but they're not shutting down calls, which to me, I mean, I think if you called most teams about a guy who was top 10 in the MVP voting and has 3.5 years of control, most teams would tell you to go fuck yourself and hang the phone up. The Sox not doing that, and also it getting out that the Sox are not doing that, I think speaks volumes about their potential willingness to trade Duran. So I guess where we should start is...
And what they think of Roman Anthony, because he's the replacement.
Yes. Where we should start, I guess, is... I mean, because I think we all understand that it's a possibility. Would you trade Jaren Duran during the season?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I think I would probably trade him in the season. Like, unless the Red Sox are like on fire and he's just like the guy at the top of the order, I'm probably moving him regardless. Like, if they're in the mix, but not like, you know, leading the division or like the first wild card, like if they're like hanging on, I don't know how much better Duran is than Roman Anthony. And at that point, if you don't capitalize on the value, like what are you doing? You're just keeping like one too many players. If you'd prefer to trade Rafael or Abreu, that's a different story. But as far as Duran goes, yeah, I think just roster construction wise, I don't know. How much better do you guys think Duran is right now than Roman Anthony? Like if you brought up Roman Anthony, who produces more?
It's impossible to know. Like that's, yeah, like it's tough. You just can't know that.
But the fact that it's like a conversation, I think, speaks to itself.
Okay, well, hold on. I definitely think if you brought Roman Anthony up today, Jaren Duran is the better player. But I'm just, by how much, like your guess is as good as mine. Like we see like guys who aren't top 100 prospects, like Willier Abreu wasn't a top 100 prospect, comes up and lights the world on fire. And then you see guys who are elite prospects and come up like Jackson Holliday come up and they do nothing. But Pat, you said you would be on board with trading him in season as well. Let me hear your point of view there.
So the whole book on Duran is his value is only going to keep going down. I don't think this is a team. I mean, from what we've seen through 60 odd games, that it's worth burning, or I guess not taking the return you can get on a guy like Duran right now. I just don't. Because if you're holding on to him to miss the playoffs, you totally miss the boat. You do what the Rockies do every fucking year. So this is the highest it's going to be. It's obviously aside from coming off of last year, but I mean, there's no way they're going to trade him. I should say,
From this day forward, though, Pat, you can speak from this day forward. His value is probably not going to get
higher. From this day forward, it's not going to get any higher. And I think this team is not going to be a postseason team. There's no reason in keeping him when you have Roman in the wings. And yeah, you maximize on his value now.
So the interesting thing is that when the Athletic, I think his name is Dennis Lynn. I shouldn't just keep saying the Athletic. Dennis Lynn, I believe his name is. Correct me if I'm wrong. But one thing he said was that, okay, cool. He was saying that the Padres have a gauntlet of a schedule coming up in June, and that's part of the reason why they're making these calls. I'll tell you right now, even with how awful the Red Sox make my life and how terrible these losses are on a nightly basis, I am not trading Jarren Duran today. The only way I would even consider dealing him really is if they are dead in the water and it's at the deadline, because I want to give this group as much of a chance as I reasonably can. I mean, you got guys like Alex Bregman, Garrett Crochet, Walker Buehler, Aroldis Chapman. You brought these guys in to give this team every chance possible to make the postseason. And even though they make my life fucking hell every night, they do deserve a chance to right this ship in time for Alex Bregman to come back, even if it might seem unlikely today. That said, if you get to the deadline, first of all, if they're in the race, fuck no, I'm not trading Jarren Duran. I'm not. This offense sucks. They suck. This offense is awful as is. And you're going to take out the guy that when he produces, that's the only time the offense ever looks competent is when Jarren Duran produces. You take that guy out of it. Like, I'm sorry, I don't know what the fuck this team is without Jarren Duran on it. Now, if they're dead in the water and you're going to trade them in the offseason anyway, that's a different story. But again, I would still be hesitant to trade the guy. I'm not saying you need to extend the guy. I feel like everyone falls into the boat of you either need to want to extend him or want
extend
to trade
the guy.
Him.
No, he's got 3 years of control.
I don't extend him. I'm just saying people think that you either have to want to extend a guy or have to want to get rid of a guy. And it's like never acceptable to just want to ride the guy's deal out and take the value and let it be at that point. Like, I am totally happy to let the Jarren Duran experience ride for the next 3.5 years. And then he gets paid from someone else to spend his mid to upper 30s. But yeah, it's something I would more so consider in the off season. And even at that point, like, you need to have more offense in this lineup to consider
Gordo,
something like that. And they today with even going into next year, because these kids are going to be second year guys and still finding their footing. Like, you don't have enough offense to sustain a Jarren Duran trade, even heading into next year when you're expecting to have Tristan Casas back.
Do you think his value goes down if you wait? I haven't even put much thought into trading him in June. I think that's wild. But like, if the Padres were like, hey, we'll give you Leo DeVries, you can't say no to that.
Let's be realistic. No, they're not giving you him. The Padres aren't giving you a top.
I don't know. AJ Preller. AJ Preller is like the crackhead of GMs. I don't think they would do that. I think it's super unlikely. But he's nuts, man. I don't know. He's a weirdo, and he probably thinks, oh, I might be gone if these guys don't win. So I don't really give a fuck about a 19-year-old kid in high A. So
can I say something about the value thing? Because you guys have you've both now brought it up. Pat did first about his value is never going to be higher than it is right now. And to that, I say, fuck the value. Like, you need to focus on putting the best major league team on the field for the window that is open right fucking now. And trading Jarren Duran for a kid in single A, kid in double A.
Yeah, but what if you trade that kid? What if you trade that kid and then you get another Garrett Crochet for 2026?
So make it a three-way deal then. Get the guy now. Don't fucking leave it in the hands.
So all right. So you're
Red Sox front office that is held back on making moves year after year after year because they're afraid of value. I don't trust.
You had a whole thing at the beginning of the show about how we're not stupid. We know what this team is, but now you're not willing to give up Duran because you want to hang on to that shred of hope.
It's not just for this year.
Oh, come on.
Who do the Red Sox have beyond Jarren Duran?
Roman Anthony.
That is proven in the major leagues.
Oh, okay. Alex Bregman.
He's not under contract for next year.
Also, I don't even think Jarren Duran's that proven. Like, he was amazing in 2024. But, like, before that, he had half a season where he was good. Like, he's not super proven. That's the problem with this whole team, honestly. They're so inexperienced. And not every young team is going to be like the Tigers, where it just all clicks. 2024 Tigers, I mean, where it all clicks and they all play well together and they're like, hoorah, we can do it with the power of friendship. But so, yeah, I don't know. I'm not married to the idea of keeping Duran. Sedan's going to be in his third year next year. Willier is going to be in his third year next year. Casas, when he comes back, that'll be his third and a half year. Meyer will not be a rookie anymore. Actually, he technically will be. He'll have experience. Yeah, but he'll still be young. Bregman hopefully still be around. Narvaez will have a year working with the pitching staff. Crochet's not going to be that young anymore. Like, the guys are, they're getting there, but right now they're just painfully young. And I feel like if you hang on to Duran or Willier Abreu, I'd much prefer to trade Duran, but if you hang on to both those guys, both corner outfielders, both left-handed hitting corner outfielders, when you have Roman Anthony coming up, just seems like a, it seems like a big waste when you badly, badly need a pitcher to follow Garrett Crochet in the rotation. Badly, badly, badly need
you
that.
Can, you, so, can afford, you can afford to trade for that right now. Like, they have the password who just got ranked top. He ranked, got ranked 46th
by Password's not getting you anything close to that.
He got, I'm not saying alone, but I'm just saying you've got Password who just got ranked 46th by Keith Law. You have Franklin Arias who just got ranked number 8 by Keith Law. And
do you want to deplete the farm? Like, I don't want to deplete the farm either. I want to be like the Dodgers where they constantly have like new talent coming up every year. There's a new young guy like Dalton Rushing. Just came up this year. They just won the World Series. Dalton Rushing comes up. Huge. Now they have Zaire Hope, who's like a top 20 prospect.
I'm not
they
disagreeing have, with that. No one is disagreeing that they should cut off the flow of prospects. But they've got enough prospect depth to sustain another one of these deals. And newsflash, if Sadon keeps playing well, like, that contract all of a sudden goes from negative or maybe even value to, hey, maybe a team wants that contract. And to me, sure. To put the best team on the field, I want my three best outfielders out there. And I know he's coming off back-to-back games with a homer, so it's a weird time to say it. But yeah, like, Sadon Rafael is the fourth best outfielder on this team.
Ooh, I don't know about that, dude. I mean, that's tough.
Who's he better than in the outfield?
I mean, war-wise right now, he's the highest-ranking guy in the outfield. He's higher than Juan Soto right now in terms of war, both wars.
That's
looking at this today
on the war stat.
I knew you were going to say that. I was like, he's going to say, I don't like war. I think his defense is just amazing. Like, I think it's that good. Like, it's game changing. Of course, as we're recording, he made an error today, which, so it's like a stupid.
No, but
take,
it is. But, absolutely. Yeah.
I don't know. I like Sedan. I think the contract is good. I already like the contract. That's another reason I want to keep him. I mean, that shouldn't be a reason, but it is, because the Red Sox are frustrating. They not as cheap as they were a year ago, but still a little bit cheap. Roman Anthony, see Exhibit A. Call him up right now. But yeah, no, I want to keep Sedan. Also right-handed bat.
Okay, question for Pat based off of something, Sammy, that you said. You said you'd rather trade Jaron Duran than Willier Abreu. Pat, are you in that boat as well?
Oh, dude, it's not even remotely close.
Even with the righty-lefty splits and the fact that he's been pretty not good against high velocity fastballs this year.
The big thing is Willier's only going to get better. Jaron's only going to get worse.
Yeah. By the way, I agree with you guys. I would rather trade Duran.
Yeah. Yeah.
Duran has like an alarming amount of ground balls. He strikes out a lot. And when he starts to lose that speed,
league average in strikeouts.
All right. We'll see where he's at the end of the year. But like,
he was 48th percentile last year. He's 48th percentile this year.
48th percentile in the year he finished like really high in the MVP voting. So like, I doubt he tops that. So he's below average. That's a lot of strikeouts. You're below the 50th percentile. It's not going to kill you, but it's a lot, especially for a team that already strikes out a lot. And the second he loses an ounce of that speed, he is not even close to the same player on either side of the ball. And that's what scares me. He's way older than Willier. What, like 3 years older than Willier and 4 years older than Sedan? I hate talking about this. It makes me feel so old. He's so old. He's 28, but that's the sad truth. And I think that another thing people aren't going to like, I think his trade value is a lot lower than Red Sox fans think it is. I don't think it's
definitely
close.
He's not getting LDV. No chance.
No way. That's where I'd start. I mean, I don't even know if I'd make a move with the Padres, because that's the only guy I'm really
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Into, but...
What? Well, okay. I'm just curious. If it did... Because we don't know other teams right now. So if it did have to be the Padres... What would be the trade that you'd accept from them, understanding that you do also have the ability to walk away?
It would have to include that kid. And I would add like password or something. I'd give them a prospect back to get that kid. I mean, that guy's going to be the number one prospect in baseball at some point next year, because Bubba Chandler is going to graduate and Roman Anthony is going to graduate. Actually, no, Roman Anthony is going to be in AAA until he's 35 years old.
Yeah,
so
what
the fuck am I saying? But that kid, Leo DeVries, am I even saying that right? Leo Dallas DeVries?
Leo DeVries, I thought.
DeVries? Put the fries in the bag, DeVries? I don't know. Leo, we'll call him Leo. Leo's going to be, LDV is going to be at where Roman Anthony is at now in a year. So I would give up Duran and password for that kid. And the thing about that is, if the Red Sox get that guy, I'm flipping him immediately. For a pitcher, a starting pitcher, ace caliber, ace or high quality number two, like something like that. And then I'd probably sign another one too, because I'm sick of watching this fucking rotation go 5 innings. But yeah, I don't really think the Padres are a great fit, is the long way of saying that, because that's the one guy I'd want. I don't want Salas. That's their other big prospect, Ethan Salas. He's like a 14-year-old catcher. He's been in the league forever, and he's only like 12. Can't hit at all. Back problems already. Defense is really good, but the Narf. We got the Narf.
He's got a good amount of time to get very good. But yeah, to me, like, I mean, if you're out of it, again, like I'm open to it, to trading him if you're dead in the water, out of it dead. So if you can get them to trade LDV And to me, I'd probably want more because it's like, what? You want LDV to probably become Jaren Duran and he'd have 6 years of control. Jaren Duran has three. So it's like,
I want him to become a pitcher. I want him to become a pitcher in a trade.
Yeah. Because I mean,
I don't want anything to do with him. I'm shipping that kid out right away. Like,
I
great,
want a three-way trade
awesome.
Then, man.
I don't trust
the Red Sox to close another deal. I just don't trust it. Like, I feel like they're going to ride it out with a kid, and then it's like, oh, he's blocked by Meyer and Bregman or whatever. Oh, we'll play him at third, and then it turns out to not be that good of a hitter, and it's like he's the third baseman playing good defense but not hitting. It's like, how good is that?
You want to know who I would look at for LDV? I was, like, teasing you guys with this. Is Hunter Brown from the Astros.
I was wrong.
I knew it. I called it.
You were close. You said Hunter Green, right? I was like,
no,
and then,
I
Pat,
said,
you kind of...
Oh, yeah. I said Hunter wrong color. That's what I
yeah,
said.
Yeah, but... Hunter Brown. I mean, that Astros are a team. They're medium to small-ish kind of market money-wise. They're trending in the wrong direction big time. They just lost Bregman. They just lost Tucker. They're about to lose Valdez. Brown is probably their best asset.
How much control does he have?
I think like 3 years, like a lot.
No, I think it's more.
Three or four. Yeah, he's got it might take more than LDV, but still, like it has to be another Crochet type. That's why I want top prospect, because that's how you get a guy like that. So
he's got 3.5 years. So yeah. If you could take Jaren Duran and turn him into Hunter Brown, go for it. I don't trust them to get a prospect and then wait till the offseason and treat everything right and then make the trade.
That's fair. That's a different story.
here's one that I thought of that I still don't even think I would do, but if they were even remotely in it, this is the only way that I would consider a move like this, is if you got back, everything has to start with LDV, but I honestly don't even think I would do any deal unless it had Luis Arraez in it.
Oh, fuck.
Because at that point you improve yourself at first base and you go from Duran to Anthony. So it's basically Duran and Toro in exchange for Anthony and Arraez. I agree. He's a very imperfect player. I'm not that big on Arraez, but at least it would improve.
I think he's bad. Like I think he's a negative.
I would say bad.
This team strikes out like, dude. He possesses the skill set that this team severely lacks.
But he's like one of the worst defenders you'll ever see. He's going to make the infield
so
defense even
DH
worse.
DH him and have Rafi Devers play first fucking base.
All right,
impossible.
No.
Impossible. Okay, I got one.
Or how about this? Devers could play first base, and you could DH Yoshida, and you don't even need a rise. Then you don't need to trade Duran, and then you could actually win some fucking games.
Hey man, I'm on board with you,
dude. In 226 plate appearances this year, Luis Arraez has struck out 5 times.
He doesn't strike out. I'll give him that. But he has a 106 OPS plus 738 OPS.
I agree. But
with
dude,
three home runs.
What is the Red Sox production at first base?
Honestly, I bet Romy is doing pretty similar.
Remember,
Romy has a...
They're going to be bogged down by whatever Casas did.
I just don't want a rise, man. He's slow.
No power, either.
No defense. He has one tool. He's a one-tool player.
I agree. But if you trade Jaren Duran, I'm serious. What offense do you have? And this goes... This
Romy,
goes... Dude, don't say Romy Gonzalez when I ask that question.
No, I'm saying Romy has a higher OPS plus than Arraez by a lot, by the way.
Well, Romy's also had a fucking great season for when he's played. So
that's
not crazy.
All right. Fine. I don't want Arraez. He's out.
The other thing with making a trade like this is you also like it's gonna have to be a big package. Like you're not trading Jaren Duran in a 1-for-1. And I just this farm system is so deep, and especially like if you want to target upper minors guys, forget it, man, because this 40 man is packed in. They're going to have to make maneuvers. Like we talked about this last year's deadline. If they wanted to sell, like they can't afford to just stack up AAA guys who are going to need to be protected at the Rule 5 draft. They don't have the flexibility to do that. So like a sell-off, especially if you're trading a huge asset like Duran, it's way more complicated than most other teams in their spot.
Fair. See, it's not going to be easy, but I'm just saying, like, I don't want to. I don't like the idea of, you know, missing out on moving an asset like that that'll just depreciate in value, and you already have like a redundant asset and Roman Anthony coming up. So, yeah, I'm pretty. They'd have to really catch on fire for me to be against moving Durant.
If you want to trade assets at their peak value, man, just trade Roman Anthony then. Like, when does it end? When does it end?
Okay, hear me out. You traded two top 100 prospects for Garrett Crochet with 1.5 years of control. Or 2 years of control. I just imagine what you can get for him for his contract right now.
I agree. Should be a lot.
Just keep trading.
Oh, wait,
guys.
You're talking about Crochet. I thought you were talking about with Durant. Yeah, trade Crochet, man. His value's never going to be higher.
Just keep to trade everyone. Fuck it.
Value, man. Value. I love value when you're building a team. Like in the stage that the Sox were in for the last 3 years. Like, value's great. But when you're trying to compete, like, fuck that. You're trying to put the best team that fits together on the field. Like,
yeah. God. Like, I don't know. I prefer Roman to Durant, but
I prefer Roman to Rafaela.
Fair. Yeah, fair.
I prefer Roman to all three.
Can you imagine if the defense and the outfield wasn't elite and we had like good but not great outfield defense, and then the infield defense, God. I don't even want to think about it.
All right. Does anyone have any enough said before we get out of here? I want the last word on this because I feel very passionate about mine.
I got nothing.
Sammy?
No, just big Sedan guy, keeping Sedan forever. It's my center fielder.
Oh, man. Jaren Duran.
Love him.
Jaren Duran in center field, Roman in left. Manifest it. My enough said, war. I never want to see Billy and Jenny from Dining Playbook on my TV screen during a Red Sox game ever again.
The timing was so bad, dude. It was so bad.
We go down 3-0, and I'm pissed. I'm sitting on the couch, and like we're at the point in time in the season where it's like I'm not demonstrative at all when they go down because I expect it. But when they came on my screen, I jumped up and started screaming. I was like, "No, you're not doing this right now. You're not doing this to me. I'm in a vulnerable state, and you're gonna bring these guys." On my TV screen, I cannot stand to hear them talk about fucking taquitos. Like while the Red Sox are trying to rally, and the worst part is, the second they left, the Red Sox blew the inning and let's be real, blew the game.
Should we bring them back? They were like, Billy was like, "I had to tell Jenny what a warning track was. She didn't know what it was." I'm like,
"Oh,
that's fantastic! Great." We all became the Joker for a minute,
dude. The laughter in that booth was painful for that. And they made it. Did they leave before an out was recorded? I think they might have.
I think there was one out.
They might have been one out. Oh, there was just nothing else to talk about. Like, I'm all for having like the charitable endeavors, like the ALS foundations that they had in the booth. Like, by all means. Like, for a good cause, bring them in and let's talk. And you could talk forever with these people because they have amazing stories and it's for a great cause. I do not need to hear the best place to get a mojito in Boston. I'm sorry. Like, I just – like, you play your ads. I've watched this guy get the apple in his mouth 8,000 times at this point. Like, it's enough. It's enough. Enough.
We look a little different today, and that's for good reason.
They got one. Oh!
Okay, wrap.
Enough. Thanks for tuning in to episode 220 of Playtesting. I hope you feel a little bit better than you did when you got in here. I maybe do a little bit, but it is what it is. Fuck. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Rate 5 stars. Find us on YouTube on the WEI channel. Thumbs up on the videos in the Playtesty playlist there. Find us on the socials at Playtesty on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. For Sammy, Joe, Pat, and Joe producing, it's Gordo here for the 220th episode of a Red Sox team that has not sniffed the playoffs since we started this podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed. You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.